So President Obama didn't talk about inflation much on Tuesday night, economically speaking anyway. It was more like great inflation, and he's had enough of it.
Over the next 10 years, with so many baby boomers retiring from our classrooms, we want to prepare 100,000 new teachers in the fields of science and technology and engineering and math.
In his State of the Union address, the president said better performances in math and science by U.S. students are essential to recapturing an economic competitive edge. Well, how complicated is that? Are we more than 100,000 science and math teachers away from an important tipping point in science education in this country? Joining us now is Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson, president of the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York, the oldest technological institute in the United States. She joins us from Davos, Switzerland, site of the World Economic Forum, where she's addressing the quiet crisis of looming gaps in science, technology, and engineering workforce education and reduced support for basic research in the sciences. Dr. Jackson, good morning.
Good morning.
How complicated is this question that the president has sort of set up for us? Are we more than 100,000 new science and math teachers away from making a real impact here?
Well, it's complicated, but in some ways it's straightforward. If we don't have our young people educated well and in areas that undergird our economy, and in fact areas that have been the basis of the great strength of our economy for many years, we know that we will lose out and we will be in trouble. It is complicated because having that improvement rests with making a number of improvements in K-12 education and, in fact, not just having our students play with technology, but to understand it and to use technology tools to improve pedagogy. But it starts with having well-prepared, well-focused teachers, because they are the ones that touch the students, and that's why that is such an important investment.
Well, you're a theoretical physicist trained in part at MIT. What was your journey? What was decisive for you as a young African-American student looking to technology as your lifetime?
Well, let me say that all of my degrees, in fact, post-secondary degrees, are from MIT. What was decisive for me, in fact, was the coalescence of a couple of factors. The Soviet launch of the Sputnik satellite in 1957, which riveted the nation's attention on what was really a science-based defense race, but it made the country think about ramping up its capabilities in science and technology and educating those who had the interests, the talent, and so on in it. The second factor, which occurred a little earlier, was the desegregation of the public schools coming out of the famous Brown decision. And so that opened up a window in time for someone like me who had the interest and ability and desire to do this. And I ended up in an accelerated curriculum in the public schools in Washington, D.C. I did very well, and then I went off to MIT and The rest is history.
And part of that history is you being chairman of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission and part of President Obama's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. How is government and an educator like you to deal with some of the comments we got on our website in reaction to the president's speech? Here's somebody from Rhode Island who said, "No one helped me in math. I was always bad at math. Not everyone can be good at math, plain and simple. Those that are good should be challenged. They should solve the energy crisis." Or from Columbia, South Carolina, "I never once had a single, even remotely inspiring math science teacher, and that includes my collegiate education." And some other folks said science has never been relevant to them. "I took the classes because they were requirements." As an educator, what are the applicants that you're seeing, and how do you deal with sentiments like that?
Well, as the head of a technological research university, of course, we see very talented young people with very strong preparations and high motivation to study science and engineering. But in many ways, they've emerged from, or some would even say been culled from, a much larger population of people whose sentiments or experiences reflect some of those of your listeners. What I would say is the following, that if you listen to the threads that come through those kinds of comments, then it says that it is very important to have leadership from the top that sets a tone, that talks about science and engineering, math, technology, and its importance, that there has to be a cultural shift for people to understand the importance of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics to their lives. There's so many things we take for granted, whether they're the kind of pharmaceuticals we use that help keep people alive or cure disease, new biomedical technologies and techniques, or the things that most people know about, the new communication devices. So the real point is a change, to have people understand that importance, then to educate and invite and excite those who could do science, but then to value them as much as we value sports heroes.
Right. Well,
I'm sorry, and the president spoke to both of those things, but teachers are important to all of this.
Well, we go, how do you make President Obama accountable? I mean, he can perhaps allude to the fact that science needs to be cool, but how do you make sure that he delivers on that promise? You're an educator. What he does is really directly important to your job.
Absolutely. Well, I think, as you may recall, we've had a great historical partnership, multi-sector. Government, business, academia, the three key legs of a three-legged stool that form the basis of a true sustainable innovation ecosystem. We need to look again at that multi-sector compact, how it works, what happens at the intersections, and they have to be the kind of focused investments, even at a time of stringency, in education, in basic research, but we have to create undergirding infrastructure that can support the spawning of new businesses. The government provides strategic focus and key infrastructure. Universities develop human talent, and business helps to create translational pathways to take things out into social use and commercial use. And we need to re-inspire and re-tool that historic partnership, but it requires a fundamental strategic focus around what is important, and I would say energy security is just that.
On the Inspire piece there, Dr. Jackson, is physics cool?
Physics is absolutely cool.
Sure.
That's not to say that you don't work hard at it.
That's right.
You know, one has to do that. But
there you go.
Absolutely cool.
There you go. Shirley Ann Jackson, president of the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York, former chairman of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, talking about science education and a new Sputnik moment.